All right, thank you everybody. Man, it's good to be here. And thanks to Tom. Thanks for lunch, Tom.
You
stay at your table. And also, special thanks to Mike and Wayne and all the guys that put these luncheons on behind the scenes. I know a lot of you guys, these things just don't naturally happen on their own. So appreciate all you guys that put the work in. Man, it's good to be here. I want to tell you guys a story. There was this married couple up in Michigan who had been married 25 years, and they decided that they wanted to celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary by going back to the same hotel in South Florida where they had went on their original honeymoon. And so they made all these plans. They were so excited. And they both worked, and they both were busy. They had hectic schedules, and it turned out as they were getting closer that she found out she was not going to be able to go on the day they had scheduled. She was going to have to go a day late. But because of travel penalties and things like that, he decided he would go ahead and go according to the original plan, and she would come down the next day. So you can just imagine. I mean, he gets down there to Florida, and they haven't seen this place in 25 years, and it's unbelievable. I mean, it had been completely rebuilt. It was spectacular. He got to his hotel room and went in there and just couldn't believe his eyes. It was so awesome. There was a computer in the room. There was a digital flat screen TV. There was like this cascading waterfall feature in the room. Beautiful view of the ocean. And he was so excited. He goes, you know what? I'm gonna sit down and send my wife an email, let her know that I made it okay. And so he did that. He typed up an email. But what he didn't realize was that as he entered his wife's email address, he actually mis-entered it by one letter, just one character. And instead of that email going to his wife in Michigan, it ended up going to another lady in Dallas, Texas. And that lady was just returning from her husband's funeral. Now, her husband had been a godly man, but she had buried him that day. And she walks into her house, and all of a sudden she sees her computer screen, and it said, you know, she had email. And I'd like to read you a copy of that email. It says, "To my loving wife, I've arrived. I know you are surprised to hear from me, but they have computers here now, and you can email your loved ones. I just checked in, and they're expecting your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you soon. P.S. Sure is hot down here." I got a question for you guys, just if we can make this like participation. How many of you can remember back when you were a kid, say between the ages 5 to 10 years old? How many could, if you can remember that far back, raise your hand. Okay, good. Now, how many of you back when you were a kid actually tried to start some kind of a business, like maybe a lemonade stand, or you mowed yards, or you looked for Coke bottles, or whatever it was, but something tried to make some money? How many of you as a kid tried to start some type of business? Raise your hand real up. Look at this. This is incredible. Okay, well, you know, man, I had all kind of businesses when I was a kid. When I was, like, really small, my dad was a carpenter. I'd go out in his shop, he would make things, and I would find scrap pieces of wood, and I would sand them and paint them and sell them as building blocks. Anybody who'd come over the house, I was trying to sell them building blocks. And then when I was in the second grade, I actually stumbled across a great business, and so at school, because you know they didn't sell bubble gum at school. It wasn't allowed, but I liked gum, and so I one day there was this little girl in my class whose parents owned a little country store, and I said, "Hey, if I give you a dime tomorrow, would you bring me in 10 pieces of gum?" Do you remember you used to buy the penny candy gumballs individually wrapped? Some of them were like purple, and then you had red ones, and you had, those green ones with the spots. So she did that. On the next day, she brought me like a little brown bag, had 10 pieces of gum in there, and I had my own stash of gum in the second grade. And all of a sudden, one of my friends come up to me and said, "Hey, can I have a piece of gum?" And I'm thinking, you know, gum is a limited supply in this place, and I paid for this gum with my own money. So I told him no, and he said, "Well, I'll give you a nickel for a piece." And I said, "Really?" So I sold him a piece of gum for a nickel. I didn't think much about it, but shortly thereafter, another one of my friends come up, had a nickel in his hand, said, "You got any more gum?" And I sold him a piece of gum for a nickel, and I'm thinking, man, this is a real opportunity here. And so I went, took those two nickels, gave it to the little girl, and asked her on the next day if she'd bring me in 10 more pieces of gum. And she did, and the next day I was officially in business selling gum at the little public elementary school where gum wasn't even allowed. But I was selling for a nickel a piece and even a dime if supply got low. And there were times when I'd give her a quarter, she'd bring in a bigger bag of gum. So that went on for a few months. I was like the little entrepreneur in the school. I mean, and one day my teacher came up to me and said, "Todd, you got to quit selling gum at school. And you need to take that big brown bag full of money home with you." Because over in the corner of the room, I had a big brown bag. And that's where I would go and get people change. I mean, everybody did was there, but you know, people just didn't steal it. Even like the fourth grade teacher, she'd come in there every now and then and say, "Todd, you got change for a five?" I mean, it was growing in a brown bag. So, you know, I was like that little entrepreneur, but it was over at that point. As soon as the teacher told me, I had to take that home. I knew my parents wouldn't approve. And so one day when they weren't there, I poured that money out on my bed and I started counting. I had $78. I'd taken that original investment of 10 cents and turned into $78. And so even though my bubblegum selling days were over, my entrepreneurial desires were really just starting. And so my brother and I, my parents fostered that in us. They lived on 8 acres. We grew up in West Tennessee. And my dad carved off like a half an acre or an acre, and we had a black-eyed pea patch. We raised black-eyed peas, and we would sell them by the bushel baskets to our neighbors. And then we took the money we made from that. He bought a bicycle. And of course, we bought the ones with the baskets on the side. That way you could go down the road and look for Coke bottles in the ditches. Let me ask you this. How many of you guys used to look for Coke bottles in the ditches and go and redeem them? Look around the room. Raise your hand real high. Then now, you know, people these days, they kind of missing that opportunity. When they kind of banned littering, that blew that business model, right? So, but I always was doing something, and even when I was a senior in high school, I had 2 limited edition pocket knives made and sewed, and that was real popular. My goal was always to be successful. All I ever wanted to do is be successful. I wanted to be the best at whatever I did. Whether that was in school, make straight A's, or sports, you know, I wanted to be number one. And I remember going to church my whole life. And when I was 11 years old, the preacher started talking about heaven and hell. And he said, you know, and this church put a lot of emphasis on being baptized. He said, "If you want to go to heaven, you need to come down and get baptized." And I got to thinking, I thought, well, I want to be successful. And, you know, when you die, you're either going to go to heaven or hell. And really, if you think about it, heaven is like the successful spot. So I thought, I need to take care of this. And so I went forward, and my brother followed me. He was 9, I was 11, and we told the preacher, "Yeah, we want to get baptized, go to heaven." So we did that, and I felt good about it because I thought, you know, I'd check that box, get that decision made, and go to heaven when I die. And then went on through high school, graduated top of my class in high school, went to college, finished at the top of my class in college. I was like, you know, wanted to be the big man on campus, right? I would walk into a class. My favorite class in college was probability and statistics. I loved math. I loved calculus, all those things. I would walk into a classroom, and I'd look around, and I would say, "If there's anybody who can make 100 on this test, it's me. If there's anybody who can figure this out, it's me." And I share that with you because, man, I just reeked in ego and pride. And it's important for you to understand about that about me as I share the rest of the story. But so I finished there at Memphis State. And then I went on to work for my college fraternity in Indianapolis. And I've been real involved in the fraternity, and one of my fraternity roommates had moved to Indianapolis, and he had met this young stockbroker, and they were going through a program called Operation Timothy. They both had gotten involved in CVMC, this very organization in Indianapolis. This is 1989. And about 3 weeks after I moved up there, my old roommate from the fraternity, he moved to Boston. But he asked his CVMC friend to check up on me. So that guy invited me to church, and I started going to church. Because I grew up in church, right? I mean, church is a good thing. And I'll never forget going to this church. People there were different. It was like, man, everybody, they just seemed to have joy in their life. Didn't matter how successful they were in their careers, they all seemed to have joy. To some degree, for me, I felt like that was kind of missing a little bit. I mean, I was super competitive, generally speaking, pretty happy. But I did feel like maybe I kind of envied the joy. And so Keith, the stockbroker, this young CVMC stockbroker guy, financial planner, he was probably about 26, I was 24. He invited me to a CVMC luncheon just like what you guys have here today. And I went, and there's a successful businessman speaking. I was kind of excited to go because I thought, man, I could learn some success tips. I want to be successful. And I get there, and this it kind of caught me by surprise because the speaker, he didn't talk about too much about his business. He mostly talked about his personal life, and there had been great tragedy in his life. He had lost three of his kids in different ways, and I thought, man, how could anybody handle something like that? And he said it was his personal relationship with Jesus Christ that got him through those times. And I go, well, there it is again. There's that personal relationship. Just like the people at the church, full of people, they kept talking about this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, you know, I grew up in church, and they may have been talking about it, but I don't remember hearing it, you know. And I was asking myself, do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I mean, I grew up in church. Surely somewhere along the way it's happened. And I'm thinking, you know, from a probability and statistics point of view, probably about 90% sure that I do. You guys think that's funny, but when you're going through it, man, it's... So about that time, an insurance guy from our church, real successful insurance guy, he asked me if he could buy me lunch. And I thought, wow, you know, free lunch and make some contacts with a successful business guy. And we sat down and started eating, and he asked me a question, caught me off guard. He said, Todd, let me ask you something. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or hell? I'm like, what kind of question is that? So I said, well, I assume I'd go to heaven. And he goes, why? And I said, well, all the normal stuff. You know, been a good kid. I've really never done anything wrong. I've made good grades. Teacher's pet. Went to church. I was baptized when I was 11 years old. And he goes, well, the Bible doesn't say any of those things will get you into heaven. The Bible, actually, Jesus himself in the Bible says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. In other words, the only way you get in heaven is with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you ever asked Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior? I said, well, I don't know for sure. He said, well, how could you not know for sure about something so important? And I'm sitting there thinking, I am never having lunch with you again. I just left. I got out of there, man. I thought, this is crazy. I mean, but it got me thinking. I started thinking, I thought, man, you know, do I have this relationship? And my confidence level after meeting with that guy kind of went down from 90% to like 75%. And I decided that day, it's going to be my personal mission. Look, if anybody can figure this out, I can. I'm going to figure this out. It's going to be my personal mission. I'm going to figure out if I have this relationship with Jesus Christ or not. So my stockbroker friend, Keith, he invited me to CVMC like a weekly. They had this group that met weekly. I think y'all have those here. And I started going and learning more. And these guys were good at teaching the Bible. And I was, you know, listening. And I learned Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I thought, okay, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I know I've sinned. In fact, I've never met a single person that would ever say they've never sinned. I didn't have a problem with that. But a couple pages over, Romans 6:23. said, "For the wages of sin is death." I'm like, okay. So the wages, that's like price, right? So the price that we have to pay for our sin is death, which in the Bible, death is like eternal separation from God. That means you go to hell. So the price we pay for our sin is we go to hell. But the second part of that verse says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." So like there is a choice. We can pay the price for our own sin and go to hell, or I could receive what Christ did for me when he died on the cross. Have that applied to my account. I get to go to heaven. So I realize there's a choice. And my thing is, I'm just trying to figure out, have I ever done that? I mean, I'm trying to figure this thing out. And then I saw in Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent and your sins will be wiped out." So I knew that repenting and confessing, that was all kind of part of that process. I'm just trying to decide, you know, have I ever done it? Well, then all of a sudden, these are on Wednesday mornings. They said, "Hey, next week, we're going to talk about baptism." I go, yes, finally, because, you know, I've been baptized, and so I was kind of looking forward to that. And then we get there, and one of the guys, whoever was leading it, he read a couple of Bible verses, and then all of a sudden, this old man stands up. He goes, "Men, baptism alone won't save you. It'll only send you to hell soaking wet." I didn't think that was funny. They were all laughing. I wasn't laughing. Because when I walked in that room, I was thinking, my ticket to heaven is my baptism. And I just heard that wasn't good enough, and my confidence level just dropped to like 50%. I mean, it was not a good day for me. All this time, I had gotten involved in this church that I was attending. And they had like a young singles class. I just turned 24. And I had become a leader in this singles class at church. And there were like 60 people. And so they had asked us to do like a Sunday evening worship service. And everybody had different roles. And they asked me if I'd be the preacher. And I'm like, "Oh, what do you mean to say?" And they go, "Just tell your story. Share your testimony." And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't even know if I have a testimony. I'm struggling with this whole thing. But I'm thinking, my confidence level is 50%. But, you know, I had the pride ego going, so I told them I'd do it. So I was kind of looking forward to it. As we got talking, I thought, man, if I do a good job up there at church and everybody likes it, then I must be going to heaven. How could you do that and do a good job and not be, right? And so I kind of got excited about it. It was October 15th, 1989. I'll never forget it. And I'm up there, and I start sharing, and Tom, the preacher, is sitting right where you are, right on the front row. And I said something, the preacher goes, "Amen." And I'm like, "Oh, man, this must be good." And then all of a sudden, I said something else. He goes, "Amen, brother." And I'm going to tell you, if you're ever speaking from a pulpit at a church, there's nothing that'll pump you up more than if the preacher starts saying amen. I mean, I felt like, man, this is it. I must be going to heaven. And that night couldn't have gone any better for me, you know. But I remember driving home. I'm driving home thinking, this is awesome. Preacher was saying amen. My Christian friends told me how proud they were of me. And then all of a sudden, on that drive home, I had what I now realize what the Bible describes as a come-to-my-senses moment. And a come-to-our-senses moment is when we all of a sudden see things for what they really are. And I got honest with myself. Having that night couldn't have gone any better. You know, I'm driving home, and all of a sudden it's like, my heart just started pounding. And it was like Jesus himself, in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open the door, I will come in." And it's like Jesus was knocking on my door, my heart saying, "Todd, are you going to let me in? Who are you fooling? It doesn't matter if your preacher thinks you're going to heaven. It doesn't matter if your friends think you're going to heaven. The only opinion that counts is God's. And God knows you've never let me in." And man, as soon as I got home, I'm not kidding you, I didn't mess around. I got down on my knees
And I prayed a prayer and I said, God, I shared a testimony in church tonight, and I don't even know if I have a testimony. And right now, for the record, October 15th, 1989, I just want to pray and ask Jesus into my heart to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And if you'll help me to understand what you want me to do, I'll do my best to live it. Thank you. Amen. And that was October 15th, 1989. And I got to tell you, I really kind of had an instant relief because all of a sudden, God was in charge of my eternal life. And He's in the eternal life business. I wasn't in charge of my eternal life. And I had already messed it up. So I felt good about it. But I will tell you this. I had doubts. That, you know, one of the things when you're into math and probability and statistics like I was, I really make a lot of decisions based on facts. And there were still unanswered questions for me. That night I had to take a step of faith, even though I still didn't have all my questions answered. And the greatest decision I ever made. And so within 2 weeks, God answered all the questions that I had. Because I saw in the Bible where it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. In other words, before we ask Christ into our life, the Bible actually is hard to understand. I always had trouble with it. But the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are saved, it's the power of God. Once we have Christ in our life, the Bible kind of comes to life. All of a sudden, I started seeing things I wasn't noticing before. But I had one doubt, like, is heaven real? I thought, you know, I mean, I thought that sounds kind of silly. But I'm like, what if heaven isn't real? And I asked God about that. And you know, within 2 weeks, that old man that stood up and made that comment about baptism, he died in his sleep. And I went to his funeral. And I hated funerals. They were always so depressing to me. But I went there, and man, there was rejoicing going on at his funeral. People were happy. I talked to his son. He said, man, I'm going to miss my dad. But he got to meet Jesus face to face. That's all he ever wanted to do. And I looked around, and it's like, man, there's a celebration going on here. And I thought, when I die, I want my funeral to be like that. I'm going to tell people that I have a relationship with Christ. Because when I die, listen, you guys hear Todd Hopkins has died? Don't worry about me. I'll be in heaven. Right? I want my funeral to be like that. I haven't doubted heaven ever since. God, what I tried to figure out over a course of 6 months, God answered in a period of 2 weeks for me. And then since that time, He's worked in my life in so many ways. So like, for example, my marriage. So I was dating a girl in October 1989, and we ended up getting married in June 1990, and she then trusted Christ as her Lord and Savior 4 years later. So it was a little bit of a rocky start, and man, God just worked in our life. Right now, we just celebrated 29 years of marriage on Sunday. And we're clicking on all cylinders better than ever. It just blows my mind how awesome God is and how He's worked through our marriage. We have 3 incredible sons and then the business. So 27 years ago, started Office Pro. And many of you guys have started businesses. So it wasn't an easy startup. There was a period of time where I'm like, okay, I didn't have much money to start with, and I don't have that anymore. I started waving the white flag a little bit, like, God, you know, and then all of a sudden, I went to a CBMC event, and I had this CBMC guy take me under his wing and really teach me how to be accountable, how to pray for favor and wisdom. It was an older CBMC guy that took me on as a 25-year-old by now, young CBMC guy, and started creating accountability in my life and teaching me how to pray for favor and wisdom. That's why I like pouring. That's why I like about CBMC. You see these older men pouring into the younger believers. That's why I like doing that now. I've seen it work. And we went from being me waving a white flag to today being one of the most admired franchising systems in the country and one of the most admired brands in our industry. We have almost 5,000 people work for one of over 130 franchise locations around the country. We're able to help people start, own, and grow their own commercial cleaning business using faith-based principles.
and we're debt free. Listen, man, I'm telling you, that's a God thing. I give God the glory and the credit for all that. That's not about me. That's about just kind of letting God do His thing and what's possible through a business. I've seen that happen. And then also, He's given me a sense of purpose. And He's redefined success in my life. So, full disclosure, I still want to be successful. Being successful is still a critical part of my DNA and what I want to do. The difference is my definition of success has changed. So for me, success is no longer about making as much money as I can selling gumballs or Coke bottles or cleaning services. Success is about doing what God created me to do and becoming who He created me to be. That's success. And so my passion now is to do that. And God's given me that new definition. And what I also am aware of is that Satan is busy not wanting that to happen. He's actively trying to knock our feet out from under us all the time. And I believe one of Satan's top strategies right now is to try to keep me busy and distracted from being who God created me to be, and all believers, right? If Satan fails at getting us to become, Satan doesn't want us to become a believer, but if he fails at that, he'll just try to get us to not act like one, to not live our life like one. And so I understand, Satan, there's spiritual warfare going on. The other thing I want to share with you guys is just like I saw the joy in the lives of the people in that church in Indianapolis, I now have that joy. And from a statistical standpoint, I'm 100% confident that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And so I just want to ask you guys, kind of wrap up and ask you guys a couple questions. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, everybody here just to bow your head. Bow your heads. Every eye closed for just a second. I want to ask you, are you 100% sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? Have you ever asked Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior? And you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're absolutely 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die? If you're 100% sure, with every head bowed, I want to ask you just to raise your hand. If you're absolutely 100% sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven, I want to ask you to raise your hand. Right. All right. Put your hands down. So let me ask you this. With your heads bowed, if you didn't raise your hand, so you could be like me, maybe you were 90% sure or 75% or 50% or maybe you know for sure, you know, that you've never made that decision. For whatever reason, you didn't raise your hand on the first time. I want to ask you, men, would you like to know for sure today? Just put a stake in the ground, June 6, 2019. Would you like to know for sure today, you know what, I'm not messing around with this anymore. I'm not going to take any more chances. I'm just going to plant my stake. And would you like to know for sure, like, ask Jesus into your life? I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Nobody's coming forward. But I am going to say a prayer like what I said back in 1989. And if you'd like to know for sure, and say and repeat that prayer there in your own heart. If you'd like to know for sure today, I'm going to ask you, with every head bowed, raise your hand. Just so I could see. Raise your hand if you would like to know for sure. And keep your hands going up. All right? So you can put your hands down. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a prayer like the one I said in 1989. And I'm going to ask you to make it your prayer. Just say it there to God. Put your stake in the ground today. And then you know that you know. So here we go. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And right now, for the record, June 6, 2019, I'd just like to pray and ask Jesus into my heart to be the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So everybody could just look up here a second. Listen, I'm going to tell you. If you said that prayer, if you asked Jesus into your heart today, I'm proud of you. It'll be the greatest decision you ever make. It's a foundational, but everything else can come from it. And I want to encourage you to tell somebody about it. The person that brought you, maybe when you're leaving, say, you know what? I said that prayer today. It's good to tell somebody. Otherwise, Satan will try to say, oh, you didn't really say that prayer. So it's good to tell somebody about it. But I also want to ask you men who raised your hand the first time. Who said, yeah, I'm 100% sure. I've asked Jesus into my heart that I'm going to go to heaven. What about you guys? Have you allowed Satan to get you so busy and distracted that you're not really actively doing the things he's called you to do? You know, Pastor Tony Evans says greatness is when we're pursuing and achieving the potential that God has for us. Are you still pursuing and achieving the potential that God has for you in your life? If you're still here, God's not done with you. So I just want to ask you that. You know what has almost more influence on our life than Jesus? I found myself doing it. I'd be praying out on the porch in the morning and I hear my phone buzz. I'm like, hang on, God. Do you know how terrible that is? Disrespectful that is? You're not going to check this when you're talking to your grandmother, but yet sometimes we'll stop talking to God to check our phone. Have you allowed Satan to get you so busy and distracted? So I want to ask you this question. I want to encourage you, why not make today, June 6, 2019, the day you say, you know what? I'm not going to do that no more. I'm going to do a reboot. I may have walked in here busy and distracted and off path, but I'm going to walk out of here following Jesus. I may have walked in here already a believer and going to heaven. That's fine. Still walking out that way. But I'm going to walk out here following Jesus while I'm on this planet. I'm not going to get distracted and busy. So I want to say it. Two sentence prayer. And I'm just going to ask you, man, if you're in that situation, to just want to rededicate your life to Jesus today and say, I want to do a reboot. I'm starting over. When I walk in this room, things are going to be different. I only get to live on this planet once. And you know what? I don't want to die. And the first words out of my mouth when I get to heaven saying, what was I thinking? We're here because Jesus has a job he wants to do through us. I want to ask you guys to bow your head, all of you. And if you raise your hand the first time, do you want to rededicate your life? Just put a stake in the ground. Say, I want to rededicate my life today. I want to make a difference. I got kids and grandkids. They're watching every move I make. I have influence over a lot of people. It's time that I don't let busyness and distraction run my life, but that I let the Holy Spirit lead me in everything I do. So here's two sentences. I'm just going to ask you to pray. Dear God, today I rededicate my life to you. Help me to do what you created me to do and to become who you created me to be. In Jesus' name. All right, man. Well, I have been asked to do one more thing before I sit down, and that's to ask you to fill out these in the center of your table. There are some response cards, kind of information cards. So, listen, and there should be some pens or something there too. Even if you fill these out before, I'm going to ask you, everybody here, to fill out a card today. Okay. So if you put your name and phone number and the information it's asking for, even if you're a regular, some of you are here for the first time,
put your name and your phone number. There's a place where you can write who you're a guest of, if you're a guest of somebody. Email.
And as you're doing that, look at the three boxes in the top right corner. That first one says, I pray to receive Christ for the first time today.
And for those of you who raise your hand and say, today I want to put a stake in the ground and pray and ask Jesus into my heart,
I want to ask, and if you did that, I want to ask you to check that box. So, or maybe you didn't raise your hand at all, but you still prayed and asked Jesus, I want to ask you to check that box.
Now, all that's going to do is, I think the guys here have a little something they want to send you, which helps better understand the decision. A little book or something like that. So please just check that box. I pray to receive Christ for the first time.
And then if you rededicate your life, if you say, you know, today I'm going to reboot. I'm going to let
Jesus have more influence on how I live my life than busyness and distraction, check that second box. It says, I renewed my commitment to Jesus.
So check that second box if you did that today. And then the third box says, I'm interested in knowing more about CBMC. So if you want, maybe your first time here, you don't know much about CBMC, you want to know more, check that box and I'm sure they'll send you some or tell you more. And there's some other boxes there you can read and check as they apply to you. But once you're done filling out those cards, if you would then stick them back in the envelope, leave an envelope on the center of the table. Then the right person will pick that up. And hey guys, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here in Chattanooga, all the way from Tampa, Florida. But man, it's awesome to see how God is working, especially here in Chattanooga and so many people's lives. So thanks for having me. I'm going to turn it back over to Tom.
Thanks so much, Todd, and we just appreciate you sharing from your life like that. I know Todd's going to stick around for a few minutes if anybody would like to say anything to him. And we just about concluded our time together. We have a friend in the room, Daniel from Romania. We all know that we live in a global economy this day and time, and it's good to hear prayers in other languages. So I've asked him to have a brief prayer for us and close us out in his native language. So, and with that will conclude our time. So thanks again for being here, and I hope you have a good rest of the afternoon.
Thank you, gentlemen. What a blessing to be with you today. I enjoy the fellowship and very good word. Thank you for that. From here, I go straight to the airport. So in about 24 hours, I should be back on the mission field. We've been there for about 19 years, building churches, working with gypsies and orphans, and meeting good Christian businessmen in Romania, too. So praise God for that. So let's pray. Doamne, îți mulțumesc pentru ziua de azi. Te binecuvintez pentru că ești Dumnezeu. Pentru că prin Domnul Iisus Hristos avem totul, în El avem toate. Viață veșnică și binecuvântare pe pământ. Te binecuvântăm în numele Domnului Iisus. Amen.
Amen.
No, thank you, brother.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.